Hello, welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-built and radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Sing out the dance, motherfucker!
If you wanna give it one more try, I'll a lousy scab, or will you be a man?
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Radioactive San Diego, the Lying Media Bastards show. I said all that very fast. I'm Jake. Thanks for listening. That is there. Was. Who was that? That was Dropkick Murphys doing Which Side Are You On? Let me turn these headphones down. Before that, we had My Robot Friend doing One More Try. Before that, we started this off with MC5, Kick Out the Jams, Motherfucker. And, fine track. Let's see. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastards Show. Don't know if everybody listened to last week's show, but it was a fine, great, excellent, nice, long interview with Ron Anisich, who is another radio host. He hosts a show called Bad Cop No Donut up in Toronto, and it focuses on crimes and abuses committed by police officers. And as I've said, I think that's a great public service, because many people probably go through life a bit naively, believing that cops are always the good guys. You could argue that many of them are not, as evidenced by Ron's show, which I think is the benefit of it. It's people to think about things differently, maybe get them protected from any harm that might befall them by la policía. And also, Ron would argue that that in fact the cops are not mostly good with plenty of bad, but mostly bad. In the interview, he cited a study that was done that said 40% of police officers are domestic abusers, meaning that 40% of police officers beat their wives or children, which is awful. But then when you add on top of that the other sort of crimes that we hear about corrupt police officers or cops involved in the drug trade or people who engage in police brutality and so on, that would probably push it at over 50%, meaning that most cops are bad by just about anybody's definition of the term. So, and speaking of Ron, we have to say, this happened the day that I interviewed him, but we did not know it at the time. Hell. I believe I've looked up a webpage that is having some music in the background. There we go. But first I'll mention, when I interviewed Ron, he also mentioned organizations that help deal with the victims of domestic violence when they're victims of police domestic violence. In other words, their husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend is a police officer, and that's the one who's doing the beating. The website for that is policedomesticviolence.com. That is an organization that if you are in that situation, or someone you know is in that situation, you can get some help. But back to the day of the interview. Apparently, Ron's show airs 6 a.m. on Thursdays. Terrible time slot. I encourage you all to write to his station and tell them to give him a better time slot. But apparently he pre-recorded the show, put the show disc on and is playing it, starts feeling a little ill and has a friend drive him home. Now, on the recording of this particular show, Ron included an audio segment of this horrific thing. 2 years ago, some police officers in Tennessee tortured a man trying to get him to sign a document giving them permission to search his house. if he would have signed this, they could have searched his house, taken everything he owned, and maybe if he was guilty of any crimes, I'm not sure, they could have found the evidence without actually having to get probable cause or go through a judge or anything like that. And torturing him. I mean, it was really, like, apparently somebody in the house, I think his wife, was kind of afraid of what was going to happen, so she turns, you know, she sort of quietly turned on a tape recorder in the room before she left, and you get the stuff. It's fucking Goodfellas shit, you know. It's like, you know, hey, what's, you know, it's with a Tennessee accent. Your boy, you're talking too much. Slam! And you can just hear this noise. He's getting hit, and the guy's whimpering. They keep asking him what hand he writes with, so they won't injure that hand, so that he can still sign this document. And you know, they say stuff like, you know, if you know, we could make it so no one ever finds you, you know, and you're basically threatening him with death if he does not sign this document. So anyhow, Ron on his show played this audio clip, right? And now here's the story, because we don't know the full details behind everything. Allegedly, somebody out in Radioland hears this audio cassette of someone being beaten and tortured. That person calls the Toronto Police Department, and the Toronto Police send a SWAT team to Ron's radio station to raid it and allegedly save the tortured person. Now, the police in Toronto know who Ron is. They know his show. They don't like his show. Obviously, it's a show that shows all these bad things that cops do, and cops really like... Well, nobody really likes it when somebody's airing their dirty laundry in public. But I think police officers, more than others, because they try to keep this moral authority, which gives them the right to beat and shoot people. So, the fact that an armed SWAT team came bursting into the control room of one of the only cop-watching radio shows in North America, it's disturbing. I really, really want to hope this was all some, you know, comedy of errors, Keystone Cop bullshit. You know, oh gosh, he heard something on the radio, and you know, this is some old woman who doesn't know what's going on. There's a man being hurt on the radio, and then, you know, the cops go down there and, you know, fast Benny Hill motion with their bobby clubs and, you know, their funny hats and bristly mustaches, and go in there. There's no one here, and then they stumble and there's a pie fight. But that's probably, I don't know what happened. Ron's still looking for evidence of what went down. But he's very fearful, and I think justifiably so, that this was an attempt to intimidate him into stopping doing the show. A bunch of men with guns bursting into your room will scare you from doing a great many things. And, yeah. So, yeah, so... But yeah, I have on my site, I put links to this information and to that awful audio clip, and to another interview that Ron did after doing the interview with me, where he can talk about the raid, because we didn't know about it. It was bizarre. I talked to him. You know, we did the interview at 1 p.m, and Ron said that he'd just gotten some disturbing news. But he didn't have any details for me, but yeah, then like two or three days later, he'd finally gotten, you know, like enough corroboration to figure out what had gone on, and he told me, and it was kind of scary. But yeah, so on today's show, we're gonna talk about the Haditha, the war crimes committed in Haditha. Objectivity in journalism, racism in the anti-immigration movement, globalization in Iraq, some random thoughts I had about the future of bars, and maybe a little bit about 9/11 conspiracy theorists. Gonna have some music from Sipo Down, maybe some Pennywise, I can read my own writing, La Tigre, I got plenty of stuff here. But before I forget, right now we're gonna play some Desmond Dekker. Desmond Dekker, one of the founders of ska music, back in the day, back in Jamaica. He died last week, or maybe it was this week. I get my dates confused. So getting a little tribute to Desmond Dekker. It's fucking great stuff. It's sort of the ska rocksteady soul sound that preceded what a lot of us know as ska and reggae today. So I'm Jake, Lang Media Bastard Show. If you're listening live, want to make a request, hop on your AOL or Yahoo Instant Messengers, send a message to Radioactive SD, and I shall get it. If you're listening to the recording and you want to make a request about songs or topics for me to talk about in the future, send an email to lmbradio@gmail.com. I'm Jake, thanks for listening.
Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Call me
Israelite,
sir. Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Choices ago, I don't want to end up like Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, the Israelite.
After a storm, there must be a call. Catch me in a farm, you sound your alarm.
Oh, the
Folks, you're listening to Radioactive San Diego. I don't know what's going on with our microphone volume today. Let me try. How's this working? I turn this up to here. Okay, this might be normal. Or it might not. We'll, I guess we'll find out. That is, there was Zach De La Rocha doing March of Death, his one solo track since leaving Rage Against the Machine. Before that, we had DJ Zebra doing an interesting mashup of The Beatles, Come Together, and Nine Inch Nails Closer. DJ Zebra dubs that one Come Closer. For that, the Donnas doing Take It Off, Soundgarden covering Devo doing Girl You Want, and we started off with Desmond Dekker with it, The Israelites, poor departed dead Desmond Dekker. Now on our own station here this morning, on Radioactive this morning, I turned it on for just a moment to make sure the signal was working, to know if I should come in and do my show, because we have had some technical difficulties. Ah, crap, phone call. Okay, I think perhaps we need somebody in the studio at all times to get the phones. The phones don't ring much. I don't even give out the phone number over the air when I'm doing my thing. But no, I've been told that my mic volume is now fine, so I need not worry about that. So I was starting to tell a story this morning. Turn on the station, make sure the stream is up, and I heard a little bit of something. I'm not even sure what it was, but it was like a lecture that some guy was given about 9/11, and from the sound of things, he's one of the fellas who does not believe in the story we've been told about 9/11 and Osama bin Laden and the hijackers and all that. I have a MySpace page for my radio show, and I'm stunned at the number of people who believe that 9/11 didn't happen the way that they're told. Believe there's something shady going on, something secret. And they all want to link up to my page for some reason. But, so there is this pretty large well of dissent and disagreement, which I'm quite surprised about. But the fellow who was giving this lecture on the station was basically saying that, it wasn't fair, the treatment that the folks who don't believe in the 9/11 story, that they're not being treated fairly. And that so many people on the left, left media and activists, just tell them that they're wasting time and they should shut up and they should go away. And I mean, it's very understandable where that feeling comes from. One is, the people who say, we've been told the story. I don't know what you guys are coming up with, but I don't believe you. But part of it, too, is that the people on the left, because many of our beliefs and facts and justifications are not common knowledge, a lot of mainstream folks think that we're making stuff up. Oh, that's crazy talk. Oh, it doesn't happen like that. And it takes a long time to get somebody up to speed explaining all this stuff in our history, these shady things that did happen. And because of that, I think a lot of the folks on the left are totally unwilling to hear about these alternate theories of 9/11 because they don't want to be lumped in with who they consider conspiracy theorists. They say, oh man, you're going to... they feel that it could do their reputations damage, and they're probably right. And by the same token, I think a lot of the folks who believe in other stories of 9/11, they're desperate to get more people to believe them because they know that they're looked on as crazy people and they get called names and conspiracy theorists and all that. So they want to find somebody who will agree with them, preferably somebody, who's a big name, who's very respectable, because that will possibly lift them out of this sort of political and intellectual ghetto that they're in, where no one believes what they have to say. Now, obviously, none of us really know what happened on 9/11 because we weren't there. We can say that about all sorts of things. All I know is the theories I've seen for 9/11 saying that it wasn't Osama bin Laden, that it wasn't terrorists, are almost always just based on physics. It's always somebody saying, well, you see, the plane crashed at this speed and caused this much force, and the jet fuel burns at this temperature, and whereas the materials in the building are, they need to be this temperature to melt and break, and so as you can see, something else happened. So, I'd need stronger evidence than that, folks, to start buying into other versions of the truth, but I just wanted to say that what that one fella said, that it's not fair to be picking on the on the maybe something else happened, folks. I mean, it's never really a bad thing when somebody says, you know what, I'm going to look and see if maybe there's a better explanation for that. I mean, in most academic thought, you know, we look for that sort of thing. We want people to try new ways, new theories, try to arrive at the best answers. But I think that for a lot of folks, going back to that point and putting that much effort into researching these other theories, they see that as sort of a waste of political effort. That, you know, we need to be confronting the Bush administration, or voting for Democrats, or, you know, ending corporate globalization. And they see that as more important than this sort of thing, which we may never know any answers to. Or, you know, or maybe the official story we got is 100% true. I've got no idea. But, personally, yeah, I'm looking more towards the future and less at what happened a few years back, for better or for worse. What else have I got here? Oh, Haditha. Jesus. Now, here's a story. I believe it was in November of last year, a bunch of Marines in the town of Haditha, Iraq. I think there's a caravan of about 3 or 4 cars. A explosion goes off, kills one of the soldiers. The soldiers go fucking nuts and start killing people. The story is that they killed some people on the street, and they went into a house and killed 19 more people, including a 1-year-old girl, most of those execution style. And this is the story of Haditha. I remember hearing about this months ago, and that some amateur journalist had taken some video and gotten it to a human rights group who was then trying to take it to the Marines to get them to investigate, to get them to admit guilt, something. And then just in the past couple weeks, it's finally become public knowledge. Jack Murtha, who's the congressman who, from my understanding, he's sort of the go-to guy for the military. If you're in the military, you're the top brass, you're a general or somebody, and you feel like you don't have support all the way up your chain of command. Like, you know, if you think Donald Rumsfeld is not going to do right by you, perhaps, then what you do is you sort of leak your info to Jack Murtha. Where's a John Murtha? Murtha. We're going to call him Murtha. Frankie Murtha is, he's the guy to go to. So he's been coming on TV talking about this investigation showing that these soldiers did these terrible things. That's war crimes. But who's counting? You know, at this point, seriously, I mean, shock and awe. The original idea for the invasion of Iraq was to use such a huge amount of explosives and cruise missiles and ordnance that it would demoralize the Iraqi troops so they wouldn't even bother fighting. We were going to try to cause that much damage. Now, you could argue whether or not what actually happened was shock and awe or not, but, so then we have the prisoner abuse in Abu Ghraib. That violates, to my understanding, most laws of the Geneva Conventions about the way that the prisoners of war are treated. Fallujah, I believe the military turned that into a big pile of rubble. They sort of told everybody to leave town so that only insurgents would be left in town so they could destroy the town. And then I think it was also Fallujah where he had the quote-unquote shake and bake, which was when the U.S. soldiers were attacking Fallujah, shelling it from the outside. They were using two kinds of ammunition. One was concussive, you know, explosive grenade sort of stuff. Explosive, I don't know my military terminology. Explosive ammunition of some kind, which was the shake, and then using white phosphorus, which typically is just used to light up an area. You shoot it in the sky, and it burns very hot and bright, so people can see. But if it gets on skin, it will burn down to the bone, and water won't put it out. So that was the bake. The shake was the explosive ammunition. The bake was the chemical weapon that would burn through your whole body. That would also be a war crime. So, yeah. lots of fun there. I'm going to stop talking about it. I'm getting kind of angry. I'm going to stop and calm down and play music so I can talk about other stuff later. I'm Jake Lang, Media Bastard Show. Blah, 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 blah. Music.
Slips away, go through the day without a way to see past the decay. To say a better day is coming got me running my mind, wondering if I'm cunning enough to find a new pattern of thought design so I can deal with this land of concrete. Cause them facts is ill, yo, we facing defeat. From the trees to the seeds of the ghetto, the fleas on the dog's back half already settled in. Won't allow no meddling cause they shoot you, do anything for the loot. Wicked politicians making wicked decisions, straight lying to the public so they can begin another mission of war. Man, my eyes are sore, shit's hardcore. We can all make a change, what we waiting for? There's a million other people who feel like I fail. Too many cats are sending up with a raw deal for real. But I read a book, take a look, put it all in perspective. Ignore the crooks who be rocking their politics while running for president. If we want the asses kicked, then let's set the president. Cause it's not you versus me, but it's you and me versus the war industry. If you asking me what it is that we can do against idiots like GW, it's follow through. It's what makes you cope, it's what makes you grow, it's what makes you go against the grain when they tell you no. But you got to show your friends and foes it's time for change. It's what makes you cope, it's what makes you grow, it's what makes you go against the grain. But they can't tell you no, because now you know the healer when you get home.
Yeah. I'm holding on like someone pushed me over the edge. So sometimes when the rhyme just go over your head, try to bring it down to earth without sounding berserk. It's for the people high and mighty and I'm down in the dirt. Put it work like a nickel and diamond. Standing on the corner religious like a shaman. I ain't fickle with rhyming. The punchlines while they tickle your spine. I pick at the line and I'll never front for you. You ain't getting consignment. People hope to get signed, but today's the prize. The industry falling down right in front of their eye. On my block, brothers don't live, brothers survive. Mothers pray through the night and hope their son is alive. Check the stoop, then the corner, then the hospital. My city more, matter of fact, shit, I got to go.
to my son's school, yeah, where they call me Brother Crowley. No time for crime, waiting or hoping like Buddy Holly.
It's what makes you cope, it's what makes you grow, it's what makes you go against the grain. When they tell you no, but you got to show your friends and foes it's time for change. It's what makes you cope, it's what makes you grow, it's what makes you go against the grain. But they can't tell you no, because now you know the hiller when you get home. I'm hoping for better days and better ways to express. I'm hoping for spiritual growth and some mental progress. Hoping I won't be choking when it's time to take the test of time as I'm standing in the limelight and rhyme. Will I shine? Will I be remembered as a person who took the time and opportunity to find the goodness of his own kind? The kindness of the mankind, the kind that makes a syndicate me just relaxing the wind. It's a state of mind you can find me in when I'm kicking back and I'm chilling. Looking at playing children, impressive buildings, and I'm feeling that we more than the money hungry idiots. Mass marketing guys claim we be mad, they can't get with us. It's the fuss of living, looking for a balance between taking and giving and making a living without making a preemptive killing. Shit has got to stop. I hope we find a revolution back in hip hop, back in hip hop, back in hip hop, back in hip hop, back in hip hop.
Run! anyone here is in marketing or advertising, kill yourself.
Thank you. Just planting seeds. Planting seeds is all I'm doing. No joke here. Really. Seriously, kill yourself. You are no rationalization for what you do. You are Satan's little helpers. Kill yourself. Kill yourself. Kill yourself now. Now, back to the show. Seriously, I know the market people are going to be a joke coming up. There's no fucking joke. Suck a tailpipe. Hang yourself. Borrow a pistol from an NRA buddy. Do something. Rid the world of your evil fucking presence. Okay, back to the show. Planting seeds.
They bear fruit? I don't know. Feel better. You know what bugs me, though? I know everyone here who's in marketing is now thinking the same thing. Oh, cool. Bill's going for that anti-marketing dollar. That's a huge market.
Quit it. Quit it. Don't turn everything into a dollar sign, please.
Ooh. The plea for sanity dollar. Huge. Huge market. Look at our research.
You know, in marketing, the most evil concept ever. Like, for instance, I saw this. You know what they do to movies now? This drives me crazy. They show movies now to test audiences before the movie is released and then change the movie depending on how it's
mocha only. Choke the microphone the way he low can choke a phony, won't he? Told him play a station like a broken Sony. Tenderoni phone, she lonely, come and stroke the pony. That good loving deserves a Uncle Anatoni. Rats in the hood bugging, they want more raw baloney. Chachi need to watch his bony skinny Joni. Villain fitting, fattening up with minestrone. Been grown, chromoly skin tone. While he rock the end zone, tap your toe or chin bone. The choice is yours alone. He came for the throne and to get the game sown. Dual name known as the Don for sure, true. And he won't show his face or sponsor your group. He sneak up and throw you for a loop. She peeked up, speak up if you want some more soup.
New suits again. Who do's cruise again? Who's too smooth? Who's flus want snooze with them? No surprise, no new news to him. Here's a light bulb. Now how many of you screw this in? I do better when it's less team effort. With an old blue sweater, I'm a less clean dresser. Full circle, back to the drawing board. Mic by the mirror, I'm the best I ever saw record. Moping doom, get it sewn like an open wound. Two scientists up in the lab will make it go kaboom. They said, don't mix those two properties together. Probably end up with some empty eye sockets or whatever. I'm only here to hunt pleasure like some treasure. Never from a whack pack of bitches like the Heathers. After this, you better owe him for some loot. You freaks, what the fuck would make me want some more soup?
Shut the suit.
Hey, folks, listening to Radioactive San Diego, the Lying Media Bastards show. I'm Jake. Thanks for listening. That just there was Le Tigre doing Don't Drink Poison. Before that, we had MF Doom and Mocha Only doing More Soup. Little comedy stylings of Bill Hicks, called Marketing and Advertising. Or Planting Seeds on alternate thingies. For that, we had Sleater-Kinney doing Jumpers, Rancid doing Lady Liberty, Pete Philly and Perquisite and Talib Kweli doing Hope, and started off with Lilas doing Tiny Echoes. I should mention one more thing. I was talking earlier about the war crimes in Haditha. But as it turns out, we don't have to worry anymore because all of the U.S. forces now are going to be forced to take extra ethics classes before going out to kill. So we're okay. Yeah. What was I saying about anything? We'll talk about a little bit about events. Last week we had the open mic night here at the Radioactive Studios, the Radioactive Compound, as I call it. A lot of poets, a lot of musicians, and I'm often very skeptical of poetry and of open mic nights, because open mic nights, you often have folks who think they're good at something and are wrong, so that often makes me not want to go to such things. But no, this one went really well. A lot of really talented people perform, and that's even with me being Captain Skeptic, as well as some musicians that were very good, and just a great time. I mean, the turnout was really pretty amazing. I was fearful that, you know, we'd get three people coming out here, but no, I think the place was packed. Must had 60 folks in one backyard, essentially, to listen to poetry and perform poetry and music and whatnot. So it was a good time. Thanks to everybody who came out for that, and I'm sure we'll have another one in the near future. But with this weekend, we're having a benefit show. The open mic night was no attempt to raise money. It was just about having a good time and introducing folks to our station and getting to know some folks. But this weekend on Saturday, June 3rd, we're having a benefit concert at Volsalta, downtown San Diego, 1544 Broadway in San Diego. So a little art gallery. And we'll be hijacking it for a benefit show, benefiting Volsalta and ourselves and San Diego Independent Media Center. Let's see, the bands we're having, Hostile Comeover, which is a good band name, The Rabbits, The Batwings, and Hijos de la Malinche is the headliner. I think the first three are hardcore bands, the last one I think is supposed to be like a little more ska. I could be totally off. Now, the Batwings, I was writing a thing on my website, about this benefit show, and I was trying to find websites for each of these bands, so I did a search for Batwings, and what I found first was an entry at urbandictionary.com, which some of you may know is it's a slang dictionary. If you ever hear a slang term and you don't know what it means, your best bet is to go to urbandictionary.com, type it into a search, and find out what new appalling slang the kids are using today. So Batwings was a slang term which really puzzled me, because when you read what it means, you say, who would come up with a name for that? Batwings was apparently the slang term for when a man's scrotum is sticking to both his left leg and his right leg, so it's sort of spread out, I guess, like bat wings. But if you're a fella and never ever had something like that happen to you, you feel it and you adjust yourself in 1 second and no more bat wings. That's what puzzles me. So who would come up with a name for something which lasts, you know, half a second? People gotta be really putting in their full day on trying to come up with slang terms. I don't understand. Oh, yeah, so benefit show, June 3rd. Come, please, make us money. Open Mic Night, thank you. Open Mic Night is, we've recorded the whole thing and have uploaded it to radio.indiemedia.org. I will post a link to the Open Mic Night on my site later today. So if you're listening to the recording of this, it's probably already there. Blah, blah, blah. And then DJ Al has informed me, I believe on Sunday, I was talking earlier about folks who have alternative theories on what happened on 9/11. There's some sort of programming and symposium and whatnot. I believe Al is going to be playing some of that material this coming Sunday. So if you're one of those folks or you want to hear another point of view, tune in radioactiveradio.org to hear that. Now, honestly, I'm feeling a little unprepared to talk much about politics. Been busy with a lot of other things lately. But, that reminds me, I have a lecture to give on that. something I want to talk about. Just popped into my head last night. I was driving around what I think will become my new neighborhood. I believe that things will be finalized probably by the end of today. I will probably be moving to this nicer part. Not nicer. More interesting part of San Diego than the suburban retirement community I live in at the moment. So I was driving around, trying to get a feel, saying, okay, what's going to be nearby me? And I'm driving, so you see, okay, a lot of homes, a lot of apartment buildings, and then as I'm going in one direction, you're finding, some things are changing, the types of buildings. You see, okay, here's a church, there's a furniture store, there's a thrift store, there's a deli, there's a bar, it's like a pastry shop, there's another bar, there's a restaurant, there's... and I'm driving along, seeing all these different things, drugstore, and it occurred to me, I was seeing, a fair amount of bars, and I think to where I'm living now, in the residential suburbs, very, very, very small number of bars. There's one part of town which apparently has gotten the name The Crawl, because there's like 8 bars in like a 4-block radius, but apart from that, not many bars in my city, and the reason... is my city is following the exact model of a suburban nightmare, where you build all tons and tons of tract homes, and for every many tract homes, you have to build a strip mall or a shopping center. I don't know what term everybody uses. I use strip mall because it sounds worse, but it's basically just a line of stores, usually a grocery store. And a drugstore are part of it, and then a lot of little shops, ice cream store, and Subway sandwiches, and dry cleaners, and that sort of thing. All the shops that would be necessary for suburban living, and they just keep repeating this pattern. That's what Southern California is turning into: big chunks of identical-looking homes attached by a number of roadways to shopping centers like this. But it got me thinking, there's no place in this for bars. Now, I don't drink, long, dull story, so I don't care. It doesn't matter to me that there's, they're not building more bars. And this part of town I was driving through last night is an older place. They haven't caught on to the ways of the strip mall yet. Not so much. So there are bars. It's more of a mixture of privately owned businesses, not as many chain stores, not as many franchises, and some bars here and there. But going into the suburban model, what will become of the bar? Because they don't seem to include them in these strip malls. I'm puzzled by this. The only theory I've come up with is that sometimes in some of these strip malls, they will have bar and grills. So they will have, I think Applebee's is one of them, where it's, they serve family food, and then there's, a bar. You can get a beer or wine or something with your Caesar salad wrap or Chipotle something. And then I think I also like TGI Fridays, I think, is one of these. It tries to be like half family restaurant, half sort of bar. And then also you have the sports bar. There are franchises of those. Those appear to be okay to include in strip malls. But no, just an interesting thought to me. The future of the bar, given the suburban planning future thing. Let's see. I'm going to play some more music, and I think actually I was saying, I don't know how much to say about politics. I'm a filthy liar. Been reading this great book called, I can't see from here. The Bush Agenda, Conquering the World One Economy at a Time. Now, I've said many times on the radio show and on my website about the difficulty we all had trying to figure out why the U.S. was really invading Iraq, because clearly it wasn't because of weapons of mass destruction or democracy. Most of us settled on oil or control of oil or empire. Those were sort of the three answers we came up with that seemed to make sense. But this author, Antonia Yusas, her name's kind of hard to pronounce, she's written this book, which is pretty amazing, which essentially argues that the invasion of Iraq was about corporate globalization and the opening of the Iraqi economy to foreign investors, foreign corporations, and not so much about oil or empire. So I'm going to play some music, and I'll come back to that, and I'll sort of outline her argument. It's pretty powerful. Even if it's not the reason that the U.S. invaded Iraq, which we could debate, it very clearly was one of them. So I'm Jake, Lang Media Bastard Show, music. This here, I love this gal. This is Lily Allen. I've only heard the one song. From the sound of things in Britain, she's already, like, was the next big thing, and then the big thing, and then people are already tired of her. And I just found out about her, like, 2 weeks ago. But she's fun. I'm going to play this song by her and play a few other things. And then we'll be talking about Iraq and globalization. Lang Media Bastard Show, thanks for listening.
Not gonna happen. Not in a million. like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields the bodies burning. As the war machine keeps turning. Hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. So Lord, yeah. World stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. Hand of God has struck the hour. Day of judgment, God is calling. On their knees, the war pigs crawling. Begging mercy for their sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh Lord, yeah. We'll be right back.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Lying Meaty Bastards radio show. And as there was the Dresden Dolls covering War Pigs by Black Sabbath. And for that we had, what did we have? I don't know. So we had, Lily Allen. Lily Allen was before that. So I'm going to talk here about Iraq and the corporate globalization. Corporate globalization, well, I'll back up. There are many well-intentioned and smart activists and writers that I know who will make me very sad when they say that they are in favor of free trade. It is my belief that they just don't know what the term means, much the same way that you might have a friend from another country who comes in without knowing the language too well, says, "I'm feeling very gay today, I'm very happy, I'm feeling gay," and you say, no, I know the dictionary says that gay means happy, but really, no one ever uses it to mean happy anymore, they use it to mean homosexual, and, so you're going to confuse people if you use it that way. Free trade is a term which has sort of been hijacked by corporations and investors and folks who deal with international finance like that. It generally means a series of policies which are good for rich people and bad for poor people. Not bad for everybody. Let me take that back. Good for rich people, bad for poor people, bad for middle-class people, probably bad for upper-middle-class people. If you're super rich, good for you. If not, it's not so good. Now, this tends to be things like copyright and patent protection, so that if you have a product which exists in country A and you want to sell it in country B, even though nobody has a copyright on this product in country B, they honor your copyright. Now, in some cases, that's not such a bad thing, but sometimes it comes to issues like medicine, where in country B, you might have an epidemic of some disease, but hey, you've got a patent on the cure for that disease in country A, so they better pay you the full price for those products, for those medicines, when you bring them to country B. Free trade often means getting rid of anything that could be considered a, quote, barrier to free trade, which often means things like environmental regulations, cultural standards, workers' rights, safety, things like that. For example, there was a fuel additive, MTBE, I believe, which was found to cause cancer. And it was something that they added to gasoline. I don't even know why, for some, you know, for some particular reason. It was being added, and Canada tried to pass a law saying, you can't sell MTBE up here. MMT, perhaps, is the name of the fuel additive. Let me read you a passage from this book. For example, a U.S. corporation used the NAFTA, which was a free trade agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, used NAFTA's national treatment and foreign investment provisions to force the Canadian government to reverse a ban on the gasoline additive MMT, a known carcinogen. MMT is banned in Europe and California. In 1997, the Canadian Parliament passed its own ban of MMT, which is made in the United States and sold in Canada, because it was proven to pollute groundwater and was, in the words of Canadian Prime Minister Jean Chrétien, an insidious neurotoxin. Virginia's Ethyl Corporation, the producer of Canada's MMT, first tried to stop the legislation in Canadian Parliament, and when it was unsuccessful, turned to NAFTA, where it launched a $250 million lawsuit. Ethyl argued that it should be reimbursed for future profits it would have earned from the sale of MMT, that the mere discussion of the ban in the Canadian Parliament had damaged Ethyl's good name. Ethyl demanded compensation or the elimination of the law, and because the Canadian government believed it would lose its case at a World Trade Court, it reversed the ban, paid the Ethyl company $13 million, and wrote the company a formal letter of apology. So that's free trade. Free trade is getting rid of worker rights. It's endangering the environment. It's forcing forcing countries to allow the sale of carcinogenic neurotoxins. So what's interesting in this book? This is the Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time, by Antonia Juhasz. J-U-H-A-S-Z. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that. She points out that while everyone has talked about how the Bush administration had no plan for post-war Iraq, they're wrong. They had one plan, an economic plan. They had a contract with a company called Bearing Point Incorporated of McLean, Virginia, which most people have not heard of. It turns out that it used to be a more well-known company called KPMG Consulting. It changed its name because it was affiliated with the Enron Arthur Anderson scandals. So the Bush administration hires this corrupt company that has changed its name to come up with a plan, a contract called Economic Recovery, Reform, and Sustained Growth in Iraq. Let's see, where are my numbers here? Their plan for a way to open up the Iraqi economy was completed on February 21st. And they were paid lots of... I can't find my numbers here. But they were paid millions of dollars. Okay, here we go. $250 million was paid to Bearing Point / KPMG to come up with this plan. The extent to which the Bearing Point contract sets out to transform the Iraqi economy is astonishing. The company specifies changes in every sector of the Iraqi economy, from trade rules to banking and financial services, to public services, agriculture, housing, media, elections, and the structure of the government itself. It even specifies propaganda tools to sell these policies to the Iraqi public. The contract asserts, it should be clearly understood that the efforts undertaken will be designed to establish the basic legal framework for a functioning market economy, taking appropriate advantage of the unique opportunity for rapid progress in this area presented by the current configuration of political circumstances. Reforms are envisioned in the areas of fiscal reform, financial sector reform, trade and legal and regulatory, and privatization. Now, I love the phrase, the current configuration of political circumstances, which really, that's supposed to describe what's going on in Iraq now. So, chaos. That is how you, what that turns into. So after Bearing Point gives the Bush administration this plan, in 2003, L. Paul Bremer, a.k.a. Jerry Bremer, becomes the head of the temporary government of occupied Iraq called the Coalition Provisional Authority, CPA. He was the dictator of Iraq. He had, it was against international law, apparently. Apparently, when you are an occupying power, you're supposed to pretty much leave that country's government alone. But, no, L. Paul Bremer passed 100 laws into new Iraq, which would change it from the sort of socialist economy that it was to something which is not in the benefit of the Iraqi people. It is in the benefit of foreign companies. Order number one was the so-called de-bathification of Iraqi society. Now, in Iraq, if you had any sort of good job, you probably had to join Saddam Hussein's political party, the Ba'ath Party. And much like Nazi Germany, where if you wanted to get ahead, you had to join the Nazi Party. Didn't necessarily mean you were into Nazism or Ba'athism. It just meant you wanted to get a good job and you were playing the game. So order number one fires all these people who are mostly, which the book here says is 120,000 of Iraq's most experienced and highest-ranking civil servants, including engineers, scientists, university professors, doctors, skilled laborers, and government administrators from every ministry. So that's part one. They have eliminated most of the bureaucracy from the Iraqi government. Order number 12, the trade liberalization policy. Among other things, it suspended all tariffs, customs, duties, import taxes, licensing fees, and similar surcharges for goods entering or leaving Iraq. So a lot of times a country, that is how they protect their economy, is they put tariffs on things so it costs less money to buy the local product than the foreign good with the tariff on it. That law eliminates tariffs, so no protection of local Iraqi industry. Let's see. Order number 17 granted a full immunity from Iraqi laws and the Iraqi legal system to coalition military forces and all foreign contractors, including private security firms. Thus, if in the course of his or her duties, a soldier or contractor commits murder, torture, rape, dumps toxic chemicals, poisons drinking water, starts an oil spill, rips off an Iraqi subcontractor, abuses an Iraqi employee, or the like, the injured Iraqi has no legal recourse other than to try to bring charges in foreign courts under foreign laws. So if you are in Iraq and you are a military contractor, you are above Iraqi law. If you commit any crimes in Iraq, the only choice that the Iraqis have, if they want justice, is to try to get you brought up on charges in your home country. So that means somebody who's in Iraq under military occupation and in a destroyed nation would have to try to convince a court in, you know, San Diego to convict me of crime if I committed crime in Iraq. Order number 37 replaces Iraq's progressive tax with a flat tax. Flat tax is something that businessmen would kill for here in the United States and are often lobbying for, because that means that you're not getting taxed at a higher rate the more money you make. That's what a progressive tax is. It figures that the more money you have, the more money you make, the more you can afford to give away to the government and distribute among people for goods and services. This gives them a flat tax so that the guy who makes $50 million a year pays the same tax rate as somebody who makes, you know, $10,000 a year. Which, yeah. Order number 40 opens the Iraqi banking sector to foreign ownership. Order number 62 enabled L. Paul Bremer to determine which Iraqis could run for or hold public offices. Order 65 established an Iraqi Communications and Media Commission, and Bremer appointed its members. The commission has the sole responsibility for licensing and regulating telecommunications in Iraq. So they're sort of an Iraqi FCC, but they were chosen by a guy who does not have Iraq's best interests in mind. Let's see. Orders 80, 81, 83 rewrote Iraq's patent, trademark, and copyright laws. Let's see. Order number 97. Jerry Bremer established a 7-member commission that has the power to disqualify political parties and any of the candidates they support. So they can literally just say, yeah, that you guys are the Iraqi Democrats. You can't run for office. You're the Iraqi Libertarians. You can't run for office, etc. But the biggest one was Order Number 39, which put all sorts of free trade policies into effect. It takes Iraq's private, Iraq's public industries, the ones owned by the government, and will sell those off to private companies from other countries. Let's see, it will allow, some countries only allow foreign businesses to own certain percentages of companies within their own country. No, thanks to Order 39, foreign companies can own 100% of any business in Iraq. It also allows for, you're not allowed to give preferential treatment to people who live locally rather than overseas. It just goes on and on. And what it comes down to is that these are the sort of restrictions, these are the sorts of laws and tricks that are put down poor countries that are tricked into free trade agreements. Poor countries that have very little choice but to cave to the pressure of wealthy countries like the United States, who will loan them emergency money. These are the sort of rules they have to adopt in their own countries. for free trade agreements. The author of this book is arguing that Iraq was not a poor country and could not be forced or tricked or cajoled into signing one of these. Therefore, we did it at gunpoint with a threat of violence and death. Made them agree to all, wrote this into their constitution. You know, L. Paul Bremer did all this while he was the temporary governor and had it written into the constitution. Which means that the Bush administration's goal in Iraq is to see the government succeed with the current documents it has, because those documents are friendly to U.S. big business and investors. So to that extent, you know, we always talk about the failure in Iraq. Maybe they didn't fail. Maybe Iraq is not too far away from where they want it to be. And that's sad thinking. So, that's a big long spiel. No, I recommend that book, though, because it tells you all sorts of down and dirty stuff that you wouldn't have known otherwise about the U.S. involvement in Iraq. The Bush agenda, invading the world one economy at a time. Yes, I'm going to play some music. I'm tired. It was a long rant. And he is here. It's our pal, Reverend Horton Heat. The devil's chasing me. Of Lying Media Bastards, the radio show, not the television show, not the film, not the pop-up book, radio show. That is there with the Ventures doing Pipeline. For that, we had System of a Down doing Old School Hollywood. We had Reverend Horton Heat in there somewhere. I should mention, when I was talking about the corporate globalization of Iraq, the book also goes on to talk about how the invasion of Iraq has intimidated other countries in the Middle East into also signing onto these free trade agreements. So it's a free trade not out of desperation or poverty, but out of fear of violence. Anyhow, this wasn't my best show, unfortunately. A little hot, a little distracted, but no dogs or cats shitting on me, so that's something. Everybody come out to the benefit show this Saturday, June 3rd, Vos Alta. Information at radioactiveradio.org for this podcast and other links and stuff I talk about on today's show. Go to LimeMediaBastards.com. Thanks for listening.